Hi, I'm Shari Tishman.
And I'm David Perkins. Welcome to episode 4 of season 3 of the Thinkability podcast. Today, our topic may sound a little unusual. We'll talk about the experience of surprise. We want to explore the idea that surprise is a gift of the mind. We'll dig into this by talking about 3 big themes. First, what is surprise and why should we care? Second, surprise and learning. And third, surprise and teaching. But before all that, hey, let's start with some personal experiences. Shari, what are a couple of surprises you've experienced lately?
Well, I recently learned that baby turtles make noise inside their eggs to communicate with each other in the nest. Scientists sometimes call it singing, and they seem to do it in order to coordinate so that they all hatch at the same time. You know, I'd always heard that turtles don't make much sound, and nor supposedly do they hear very well. So learning that was a big surprise. And honestly, the whole idea that animals might communicate from within their shells is kind of mind-blowing to me. It was the kind of surprise that made me wonder what other wrong ideas I have about the animal world. So that's one surprise. Here's a much more everyday example. Just the other day, I was in the grocery store, and there was a clerk who was sitting on a stool, hunched over, stocking shelves as usual. As I was walking by, she turned and looked up at me and gave me this sudden, beautiful smile. Now, the experience was really nothing out of the ordinary, but it was an experience of surprise that we're probably all familiar with, that sudden, surprising lift you get in your heart when someone's face lights up with a beaming smile. So those are my 2 surprises, Dave. How about you? What are a couple of surprises you've had recently?
Well, let's see. A couple of months ago, I was walking up the street toward my house at dusk, and about 20 feet ahead of me, a coyote strolled partway across the street. Well, I stopped and looked at the coyote. The coyote stopped and looked at me. We stared at one another for about 20 seconds, and then the coyote sauntered along down someone's driveway. I wasn't scared, but I was certainly surprised. Since then, we have learned that 3 coyotes have come to live in our neighborhood recently, and every now and then, we see them. What's another one? Well, okay, through some reading, I have been surprised to learn about the incredible complexity inside a single cell. It's not just nucleus and DNA and mitochondria and a couple of other notions that many of us have run across. There's this incredibly complex ecology inside a single cell with millions of components, all sorts of chemicals operating at a crazy rate of molecular motion. Now, I don't have much background, but just out of curiosity, I'd like to learn a little more about all that. Now, listeners, you might ask yourself, like we did, what has surprised you lately?
Well, we have some good examples on the table, and listeners, perhaps you have some in mind from your own life as well. So let's dig in. Our first theme, what is surprise and why should we care? I'll start us out with what might seem like an obvious point, which is that first and foremost, we experience surprise as a feeling. It's usually experienced quickly, typically feels somewhat sudden, and the feeling is very recognizable. Interestingly, although it's recognizable, the actual feeling of surprise can vary quite widely. Sometimes it's pleasurable, such as when we experience an unexpected delight like someone's beautiful smile, or by feeling enchanted by something, or when we laugh at a surprising joke. Sometimes surprise is less pleasant, even unpleasant, such as when we feel startled or alarmed, or when we might suddenly feel dazed or stunned. Maybe we've had some cherished hope or expectation suddenly dashed. And there's a lot of nuance in between the poles of good feeling surprise and bad feeling surprise. And it's worth pointing out that at these poles and in between them, surprise can also vary in magnitude, from a tiny little ripple of an everyday surprise to like the sudden shock of a life-changing surprise.
Okay, so if surprise is so recognizable and so common, Why should we take the time to think about it here? Well, one good reason is because surprise, besides the feelings, is profoundly cognitive. Surprise gives us information. Surprise signals a mismatch between our model of the world and what just happened. Maybe it's a surprise party, a car swerving around the corner, a new flu, a new planet discovered on the periphery of the solar system. Surprise is worth understanding better because when the circumstances are right, we can lean into the cognitive dimension of surprise in order to manage the situation and learn more about the world and get better at the things we care about.
Surprise and learning. It's a great theme, and let's get to that shortly, Dave. But before we do, let's mention a few things. For example, one is that animals, of course, experience surprise too. We can't know the full variability and nuance of surprise that animals experience, but we can certainly observe some range. For example, if you have a pet cat, you've certainly seen different shades of surprise. Suppose you unexpectedly walk into a room where your cat is napping. The cat, startled, lifts its head and looks at you, perhaps with a cat-like tinge of annoyance, and then settles back into its nap. But if you grab a broom from the closet and start vigorously sweeping the room, you'll get an entirely different degree of surprise from the cat.
Oh, I bet you will. Well, another thing worth mentioning before we move on is that any emotion, anger, fear, love, has some cognitive basis. Any emotion reflects something about how we see the world. Obviously, fear, for instance, involves a perception of threat. However, surprise is kind of special. Surprise is right there in the center, telling us how we usually see the world might not fit this time. The feeling urges us to do something, dodge an unexpected danger or pursue an emerging opportunity, investigate some intriguing question, and so much more. Yeah, sometimes we just enjoy a positive surprise or grimace at a negative surprise and roll forward. Like the cat lifting its head in surprise and then going back to its nap. That's okay. Not everything demands taking some significant action.
Good point. Well, let's dig into the learning side of surprise. Just to make a general point, surprise is always about learning in some broad sense, because when you're surprised, you suddenly know something, as you said, Dave, or suspect something that you didn't before, and you update or adjust your world model. You might adjust it in response to an immediate threat, as in, yikes, I better get out of here. That could have happened to you, Dave, if the coyote turned on you. You might update it in terms of how you think about things, like I updated mine after I learned about talking turtle eggs. You might update it by adjusting plans in response to an unexpected life event, like learning that you're getting an unanticipated promotion at work, or learning that you're not getting that raise you were expecting. Or it might be a tiny attitude adjustment, like refreshing your belief that there's joy in the world when you see a beautiful smile.
Yeah. And some surprises lead to easy updates. Thinking back to the coyote example, okay, there are coyotes in our neighborhood. So far, they don't seem to be doing any harm. My wife looked up a little bit about them, and we are keeping our eyes out and actually kind of enjoying their presence. And that's it for now. Other surprises can lead toward a whole different direction for one's life. For instance, take the theme of thinking. Many years ago, Shari and I and other colleagues noticed that, skills aside, some people seemed much readier to invest in thinking things through than others did. And that led to a line of inquiry concerning thinking dispositions that continues to this day.
It's nice to remember how that surprise came up. And you're right, learning from surprise as part of the flow of life does come up all the time. Often it comes up in the context of learning how to manage a new life event, like the surprises that come along with being a new parent, or the surprises that come along with helping aging parents. And of course, surprise is professionally important. Teachers, doctors, engineers, salespeople, service workers, almost anyone in a professional role has surprises that come up in their work life that they have to learn from and learn how to manage. And in fact, a standard question that often gets asked in job interviews is some version of, how do you deal with the unexpected? Because dealing with surprise is often an important part of job performance. And because learning from surprise as part of the flow of life is so important to us, paying attention to surprise is often something to cultivate. It's a learning moment, as you said, Dave, and we can dig into it by looking a little deeper, maybe by asking, what's really going on here? What's puzzling or hidden? What's odd about this? In the right situations, these sort of questions can be really generative. For example, thinking back to my surprise about turtle eggs, the experience really cultivated curiosity. It made me want to learn more about how animals communicate, and it made me want to revisit assumptions I have.
Sometimes we feel the impulse to dampen down surprise and just kind of coast through something without worrying about it a lot. And in some particular circumstances, that may be a good strategy just to maintain a degree of serenity. Sometimes we may even refuse to be surprised. For instance, simply not considering evidence that seems to run contrary to a cherished ideology or an established prejudice.
True. But on the flip side, making an effort to be open to surprise, even to go looking for it, can be a powerful force for learning. This is true in many situations, but right now I'm thinking about human relationships. It's easy to slip into fixed ideas about who people are and why they behave the way they do. We do that all the time. And these fixed ideas can make us kind of immune to surprise. But if we can be open to letting people surprise us, particularly in positive ways, we can get a glimpse of people's depth and complexity that might otherwise have been hidden to us. One way to do this is to check our own assumptions when we go into a conversation, especially a challenging conversation. What are we assuming about this person, about this relationship, about this situation? And by surfacing our expectations, we're potentially making space for them to be challenged. So not only might we be surprised by other people, we might surprise ourselves.
Aha. Well, another way to be open to surprise is to dig into a surprise that comes your way. Dig in even if, maybe especially if, it doesn't demand action. Back to the example of what happens inside a cell. I have no urgent reason to learn more about that. I'm just curious. Of course, like anyone, I'm often passingly curious about this or that, but realistically, one can only pursue a few of those fronts. Interestingly, though, what for one person is an enticing curiosity, for another may be a very real need, depending on role and circumstances. If you're an epidemiologist, for instance, you really need to learn a lot about how cells work. To generalize, then, surprise is a gift of our minds. And it's a gift to take advantage of when we need to and when we just plain want to. This does not mean, of course, that we always catch the surprises we ought to. Inevitably, in the complexity of life, potential surprises get overlooked, sometimes ones that are quite startling in retrospect. Still, that mindset of openness to surprise, that is precious.
So true. Precious indeed. Well, let's switch to the theme of the teaching side of surprise. If you're someone who designs learning experiences for others, whether it's classroom instruction, workshops for colleagues, museum experiences for visitors, instructional videos, or any other kind of learning experience, surprise may already be part of your design toolkit. For instance, we often design surprise into the beginning of an episode of teaching to spark learners' curiosity and to motivate their attention. And often this takes the form of sharing some engaging or perspective-altering information. I remember a science class from my youth where the teacher started a unit on geography by saying, "Did you know that the Pacific Ocean is so large that its area is larger than all of the Earth's continents put together?" And then she went on to move around some cutout pieces on a map to show us. And you know, it was quite surprising, and it really shifted the way I thought about the Earth as a planet.
Oh, yeah. Another technique for capturing learners' attention is to shake up their expectations about how a typical learning experience will unfold. Some days, you might start with a lecture. On the other hand, a debate, Yet others, maybe a brainstorming session. The surprise might even be some simple physical reorganization of the learning space, for example, by arranging the desks in a circle rather than in rows. These kinds of shifts leverage the alerting power of surprise to help keep people sharp, including, by the way, keeping teachers themselves sharp. Let's stick a little longer with this theme of shaking up expectations. We might design a learning experience that leads learners to discover a surprising insight, maybe something about how the world works. Here's a familiar example. A heavy ball and a light ball fall at the same speed, air resistance aside. Or perhaps we lead learners to discover something about their own creative capacities. Wow, I can actually write a poem. Wow, I can actually make a map of how my family members relate to one another. It's not so much that first attempts have to be great. The key discovery is that I can do it at all. That can be a mindset shift, an openness to new ways of thinking and feeling.
You know, your mention of creative capacities, Dave, reminds me of the role of surprise in art in general. Often art teaches us, so to speak, by surprising us with a new insight, with a virtuoso performance, with a new kind of sound or image, a new take on a traditional form, or sometimes we're just surprised through the sudden encounter with sheer artistic beauty. Art doesn't need to be surprising in order to be art. And even when it is, it isn't necessarily surprising in a big bang kind of way. But interestingly, when surprise is in play in artworks, we're quite sensitive to when there's too much surprise or too little. For instance, sometimes artists can feel unfresh, stale, they stay with the same old form and there are no surprises. I can think of musicians like this, and musicians who are not like this. And sometimes art can use surprise too liberally, sort of like a cheap trick, the way movies can sometimes use over-the-top blood and gore just to grab our attention. Plenty of art gets it just right. And just as with teaching, which, of course, is an art in itself, there can be quite a bit of craft in creating the right kind of surprise for your audience.
Yeah, Shari. And picking up on that, another way to leverage surprise in teaching is simply to encourage openness to surprise. Just as we mentioned when we were discussing learning in general, urge learners to look for surprises. Ask them to identify what seems surprising to them. Very likely you will be surprised by what they find surprising, because of course, different people find different things surprising. What is surprising in this painting, in this poem, in this forest, in this ecosystem, about this kind of creature, like turtles, for example? Then encourage learners to reflect on the kinds of learning surprises they enjoy, and even those they don't enjoy so much.
Yes, I love this idea of being open to surprise. Seeing surprise as a generative moment, a gift of the mind, is so powerful. You know, I was chatting with a friend recently in advance of this podcast episode about the theme of surprise, and she later sent me a quote from the American poet Jane Hirschfield, who says, and I quote, "That moment when you are surprised is the moment when you are opened and emptied of every preconception, and something new has a chance to step forward inside of you."
Shari, that's lovely. And maybe that's a cue to kind of sum things up. So here's an effort in that direction. Surprise is a gift of the mind. Alongside the feelings, positive or negative, surprise is a cognitive heads up. It let us know there's a mismatch between our model of the world and what happened. Surprise often inspires action. We might take some kind of action, big or small, to dodge problems or to seize opportunities or just plain pursue curiosity. Here's another. Surprise motivates and guides a great deal of everyday learning, including the enormous amount of learning that happens when we are not particularly aware that we're learning, when we just say to ourselves, "Next time, I'm going to do that differently," or "Next time, I'm going to do that the same way, because the way I tried it this time really worked out well."
Mm-hmm. And to continue on with summing up, for those who teach, and in many senses of teaching, classrooms, museums, coaching, or anything else, designing surprise into the flow can be a powerful force to inspire interest and capture attention. And for similar reasons, surprise can also be a powerful force in art. Why don't we leave it there, Dave? We will be back in a few weeks with another episode of Thinkability, and as always, we hope you'll join us again. In a bit of good news, we're happy to report that Dave's recent book, Surfing on Quicksand, Navigating a World of Information, Opinion, and Spin, is now available on Amazon as an ebook, downloadable to your Kindle. And of course, it's still there as a print book, so take your choice. And if you're wondering a little bit more about the theme, regular listeners, you might remember that we did a Thinkability episode last fall called Inquiry versus Advocacy that foregrounded some of the themes from the book. So feel free to check that out too. All right. So looking ahead to our next episode, our plan at the moment is to talk about the theme Thinking Twice. Until then, thanks for listening. As always, you can find the Thinkability podcasts on the Project Zero website or on Substack, Spotify, Apple, or wherever you get your podcasts. See you later, Dave.
See you later, Shari.